Welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, in the studios of WMOT-FM. How many times have you thought to yourself, I remember best the things that have a really deep emotional impact on me, whether they're something that made me feel elated or something that really traumatized me and scared me or made me feel depressed? I have felt that way just anecdotally without any scientific research to back it up numerous times. Well, we're going to explore that entire concept today and more with Dr. Stephen R. Schmidt, who's a professor of psychology here at MTSU, and his book, Extraordinary Memories for Exceptional Events. We'll see what you remember after these words from MTSUnews.com.
Here are a few of the stories now on MTSUnews.com, the university's news and information website. MTSU President Sidney McPhee welcomed six newly commissioned police officers to the university July 1st. The new officers, who will finish their administrative training in a few weeks, bring MTSU's number of certified police officers to 40. Jacob Basham, who graduated in May with dual bachelor's degrees in professional mathematics and general science, has won a $5,000 fellowship from the Honor Society of Phi Kappa Phi. The Portland, Tennessee native will use the funding to continue his education at the University of Tennessee's College of Medicine. And Micah Jones, an MTSU alum whose brain was damaged when a car struck her in 2004, is in the second year of her charity, Brain Song. The Ohio-based foundation raises awareness of traumatic brain injuries. To learn more, go to brainsong.org. And for MTSU News at any time, go to mtsunews.com. That's mtsunews.com.
Dr. Schmidt, thanks for being with us today.
It's my pleasure.
Am I far off with my non-scientific anecdotal analysis here that things that are make you feel extremely happy or extremely sad or scared tend to stay with you longer? Is
yes.
that too simplistic?
No, I don't think so. We tend to remember those things.
So does the research indicate whether positive or negative emotions have the more powerful impact on memory?
I think for most people, negative emotions have the larger impact. We tend to focus on those. Sometimes not only are we so focused on those that we remember those, it hurts our memory for other things that happen nearby in space or time. Now, there is a little bit of a disagreement with regard to older adults, however. Older adults may remember positive things when they look back on their lives more so than the negative things. But for the most of us remember the negative more.
And we're talking, I assume, about people who are relatively healthy. We're not talking about people who have Alzheimer's or
right.
vascular
right.
dementia or any other kind of physical impairment to their memories.
Exactly.
Okay. What is the difference between, as you describe it in the book, primary and secondary distinctiveness, and how do these affect memory?
Well, certain things stand out in our lives. Some of them stand out because they are different in a specific context. So, for instance, if I went to a party and everybody was dressed in T-shirts and blue jeans and somebody showed up in a tuxedo, that person would really stand out in the crowd. That's what I mean by primary distinctiveness. Secondary distinctiveness refers to those things that stand out because we've never really seen them before, very unusual in our lives. So I can remember, for instance, when I went to New York, I was about 4 or 5 years old for the first time. And I was, you know, I grew up in the suburbs, tall buildings, subways. That was all very new to me. And so I have a vivid memory of that trip to New York. It's not that, you know, it was different in the context. It was just different in the context of my whole life.
Is that what they call culture shock?
Well, I don't think it was culture shock. Now you're suggesting that I was maybe emotionally distressed by the trip, and I wasn't. It was just different. It was unusual.
It really piqued your interest.
Yes, yes.
Do researchers differ on whether exceptional memories last longer?
I think what we mean by exceptional memories is those memories that last a long time. So, we have certain things that really stand out in our minds, and those are the those extra special, extraordinary memories.
You also talk in the book about something called a flashbulb memory. What mm-hmm. is that?
Well, some people have these real vivid recollections of very emotional events. Researchers have sometimes called those flashbulb memories. The idea being that maybe you kind of like take a snapshot of the experience, and you have this vivid, detailed, accurate recollection. And most people today would say, no, you'll have a good memory for that event, but it won't necessarily be detailed, it won't necessarily be accurate. This is why the term flashbulb memory is very controversial in the literature, because of it conjures up this notion of a camera-like apparatus in our minds that records everything in great detail, and there's just no such process that takes place.
So those who assert that a flashbulb memory is unreliable would say that people embellish or misremember what they remember as they tell the narrative over time?
Yeah, well, they have this event that really influenced them greatly, and they probably share it with their friends and tell the story over and over again. Lots of times these events are events we share with our friends, like the September 11th attack. It still influences our society today. We probably still tell ourselves stories and each other stories about that. Every time you tell that story, there's an opportunity to change it. And so it gets well remembered, the story gets well remembered. But as it evolves and changes over time, as all our memories do evolve and change over time. There's nothing about it being strong and emotional makes it immune from normal memory processes.
Let's talk a little bit about the difference between a humongous event like September 11th, which affected all of us Americans and changed all of our lives in many ways, and yet did not directly impact people who were not within the vicinity of the World Trade Center or the Pentagon or the field in Pennsylvania. What sort of an exceptional event affects us more? Those that directly impact our lives, our bodies, of the people we love who are in our immediate orbit, or those cataclysmic big historical events that impact us emotionally but not immediately physically directly?
I don't know whether we can make a clear distinction there. I mean, I guess it would depend on how much it impacted your personal life. I mean, if you lost a limb for the rest of your life, you're going to remember not having an arm or whatever. So it's a huge impact on you. You know, the day-to-day things that happen, you know, a car wreck that you're not seriously injured from. And you might, you know, the details of that, you're not going to retell that story 1,000 times, whereas you might retell a story about September 11th 1,000 times. So I think that's really where the difference is. How much you share it with other people, how much you discuss it with other people, all that influences how the memory evolves over time.
Because, you know, we all say, do you remember where you were on September 11th? Do you remember where you were when Kennedy was assassinated? Right, do you remember where you were when this, that, or the other humongous event of national or international import happened?
Right,
and
do
we really remember it the way we think we remember it?
Well, we have these memories. I don't know that... Again, you don't want to say all memory processes are malleable and all memories change over time, and those events as well. I mean, you remember it. The question is whether it's an accurate picture or exact replica of what happened. Well, none of our memories are that. Yes, we have these memories, and I wouldn't discount them and call them not memories just because they have changed over time.
We'll be right back with more on MTSU on the Record in just a moment.
The Experiential Learning Scholars Program at MTSU gives students a chance to go outside the classroom and obtain hands-on experience in their chosen fields of study. They'll have the opportunity to give something back to the community through service learning as they gain acceptance for graduate study. Students should be able to select EXL-designated courses from major requirements and general studies requirements to complete the 16 to 18 hours of EXL coursework. For all of the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking with Dr. Stephen R. Schmidt from the Department of Psychology about his book, Extraordinary Memories for Exceptional Events. Did I understand correctly in reading the book that there is some question about whether you really do remember everything when something cataclysmic happens to you? In other words, if somebody is trying to kill me, I might remember a great deal about the specific angles and attempts to hit and attempts to hurt and where he struck me this way and that way and tossed me around this way. But I'm not likely to remember the color of the carpet, am I? I mean, we're not talking about that specific kind of minutia that we will remember.
Yeah, the most people now favor what we would call an attention-focusing idea, where you wouldn't, under high stress or high arousal, you would kind of zoom in on certain aspects of the experience. Something called the weapons focus is a good example of that, where if someone held you up with that gun, you would really focus in on that gun and have vivid recollection of maybe what type of gun it was, the color, and so forth. And that may actually lead you to not notice peripheral details like the color of the carpet, or maybe even who was holding the gun. The details of what they're wearing might be lost because so much of your attention was focused on this weapon staring you in the face.
If events that are extraordinary have a disproportionately large impact on our memories, then why do law enforcement officers say that eyewitness accounts of a crime are notoriously unreliable? Because a crime is arguably an extraordinary event, a traumatic event.
Well, as we notice, first of all, you're going to be selective in what you pay attention to, and what you pay attention to may not be the right things from a law enforcement perspective. Like, you want to know what the person looked like, not the gun. And in addition, as I indicated, memory is malleable. And if numerous people have interviewed you about this event and you've answered a number of questions and a number of suggestions have been made to you about what happened, they may become part of your memory. And as a result, your memory may shift and drift and no longer be a very good description of what actually took place.
Okay. So it's impossible for you to say that your brain has to have the exact same chemistry and your memory has to have the exact same capability if you're remembering something 20 years later as it did when the event actually occurred, because, as you say, it's malleable and your brain chemistry will change over time. So you're not going to have exactly the same chemistry in your head 20 years after the event as you would remembering the event when it happened.
I wouldn't so much be concerned with brain chemistry as with other shifts that have taken place. First of all, as I said, you retell the story. You remember it over and over again. If you were traumatized, you may ruminate and run over it over and over again in your own mind. And these things are going to change the memory. And there's also what you may be talking about there is what I would call context effects on memory retrieval. And that is, we tend to remember things best under the same circumstances as when we first experienced them. So as we age and as we move about and change, all those changes are shifts in context, which makes retrieval of the initial memory more difficult.
When you're attempting to remember something intentionally, like, say, a student studying for an exam,
yeah.
I have always studied, for example, with the television or the radio on.
Mm-hmm.
I was that way long before the age of digital. And it, for some reason, helps me to remember certain things based on their connection to what I happened to be listening to at the time. If mm-hmm. I happen to be studying about Ivan the Terrible at a point in which my favorite hockey player scored a goal, then all I have to do when the Ivan the Terrible question comes up is remember, oh yeah, I was reading such and such about Ivan the Terrible when my favorite hockey player scored a goal. Is that is there a scientific basis for what I'm saying?
There's something we call a context reinstatement, and that's what you're doing. You're thinking about when you learned it, and you're able to remember the goal, and that puts you back in that time and place, and that helps you retrieve the information. But generally, I suggest my students turn off the radio and the TV when they're studying, because that is distracting and takes you away from the task at hand. So there's that going on as well.
Okay. Just for the record, I wasn't advising anybody on how to study. Or I was just talking about what I had traditionally done over the years. Can emotion blot out parts of your memory as well as enhance the vividness of the memory?
Well, I talked about the focusing effect, right? And so that suggests that you're not paying attention to peripheral details under high stress. But if you're talking about later on when you're trying to remember what happened to you, whether memories are somehow repressed or pushed into the unconscious mind because it's an unpleasant memory, I would say the evidence for that is pretty weak and almost non-existent.
So repressed memories, or people who use repressed memories as the basis for litigation years after an allegedly traumatic event occurred, don't really have solid science to stand on?
Mostly people tend to remember traumatic experience. They don't forget them. And then my best example of that is, PTSD. People suffering post-traumatic stress disorder can't forget the event. That's their problem. They continually go back to that. They ruminate. It's the fact that they can't forget it that is causing them the psychological distress, not the fact that they've forgotten it. And there are many cases where people supposedly have recovered memories of something that happened, and the evidence suggests they never really forgot it, or that perhaps the event was suggested to them and through therapy, and they're not remembering something that really happened.
Or perhaps suggested to them as a child by an adult, and therefore the child feeling intimidated in the presence of the authority figure.
Right. There have been some custody battles where for instance, a stepmother suggested that a child was abused by her natural mother in order to win the custody case. And you can see how that would get nasty real quickly. Mm-hmm. And the child's caught in the middle, and we don't really know what happened.
We'll take another break. We'll be right back with more on MTSU On the Record.
The Middle Tennessee Writing Project is a program that fosters the effective teaching of writing to students in kindergarten through high school. The project hosts annual summer institutes where teacher participants teach and learn from each other effective techniques of teaching writing. In addition, the project sponsors summer writers' camps for youngsters. MTSU is one of 185 sites of the National Writing Project and one of only two in Tennessee. For all the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking about Extraordinary Memories for Exceptional Events, the book by Dr. Stephen R. Schmidt from the MTSU Department of Psychology. What role does humor play in memory? Does it help us remember? Does it hinder our memories? What role does it play?
Yeah, I think humor has a positive effect generally on memory. Humorous events are typically unusual. It's not every day we hear a good joke. It's not every day we go to the comedy club and hear something extremely funny. And because of that, they stand out. They're unusual, and we tend to remember them. I try to use humor in my lectures to kind of lighten them up. There is a risk involved, though, and that is there's good evidence to suggest if I tell a humorous joke in my lecture that the students won't remember the humorous joke, but maybe forget the important point of the lecture. So if you're using humor to help memory, you need to be sure to ground the humor in the major points of the discussion, or else you're going to have a backfire effect.
But as you say, the person could remember the joke, but they wouldn't remember the information that you were telling the joke to illustrate. Humor in and of itself isn't what I would call an exceptional event. I mean, you don't hear a good joke every day that makes you laugh, but I can't remember any kind of humor that was necessarily so traumatic that I couldn't possibly forget it, or elated me to the point where I couldn't possibly forget it. I mean, I enjoy the Marx Brothers, and I even enjoy some dark comedy that's very edgy and everything, but I can't remember something that would have the cataclysmic effect of a birth, a death, 9/11, that was humorous.
Right, and that's why I group it with things that are different or unusual rather than things that are strongly emotional. If I go back to my early example, the guy who wore a tuxedo to an informal party, that didn't upset you in any way, but he stood out and from the group, and you remember it. Similarly, a joke stands out from everything else that went on in my lecture that day. I told one good joke, and the students remember that joke because it's different.
Do exceptional events have the same impact on our memory as we age?
I think so. There's not a whole lot of research on the elderly and distinctiveness. But from what I've seen, you get mostly the same pattern. Talking about healthy adults, the same pattern of results independent of age.
Because I asked the question because, you know, as we age, supposedly our memories weaken and fade, even if we don't suffer from senile dementia. At least that is the stereotype of elderly people. And I was just wondering if things change so much over time that a cataclysmic event in a person's life would have a greater or lesser impact when you have less life left to live.
Right. Well, for instance, I do know that memory for the September 11th attack has been investigated in elderly populations, people in nursing homes suffering from senile dementia. And even they showed some enhanced memory for that compared to other things going on in their lives at the time.
What are the biological reasons for this?
It's not real clear. The emotional centers of the brain, and particularly the amygdala, is located right next to or very close to the hippocampus, which seems to be the root of memory formation. And so there are all these projections from the amygdala going down to the hippocampus. When you have a strong emotional response, the amygdala gets activated, and perhaps that activation leads to increased processing in the hippocampus, laying down these strong memories.
Can there be some extraordinary events that are literally so traumatic that our mind refuses to bring them back to the surface? I mean, if an amnesia patient suffered both a physical and psychological trauma simultaneously, such as in war, for example, that's what I'm talking about, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, if you have a concussion or other physical trauma to the brain, you do disrupt memory processes, and people often report an inability to remember what happened just prior to that physical trauma. Skiers who, you know, in the Olympics fall and have head trauma often won't remember the ski run in which they had the accident. Soldiers who are blown up in a, you know, by an IED or something goes off near them won't necessarily remember that particular few minutes leading up to the event. Yes, that's different from something that is simply emotionally upsetting.
What about the research into what people who have been traumatized do when they self-medicate, the effect of alcohol and drugs on memory after experiencing an emotionally traumatic event?
Again, I think if you really have used overdose, strong, a lot of alcohol amnesia is a phenomenon, alcohol blackouts. If you've had a whole lot of alcohol, you won't remember a number of things you've done while under that heavy influence of alcohol. So, that's, again, physical disruption. Alcohol seems to actually, I believe, target the hippocampus. And can lead to alcohol blackouts.
We'll take one more brief break and return with more MTSU on the record.
The Tennessee Civil War National Heritage Area is managed by MTSU's Center for Historic Preservation. A partnership unit of the National Park Service, the Heritage Area tells the whole story of America's greatest challenge, offering assistance with Civil War and Reconstruction era programs. Our projects include historic driving tours, museum exhibits, and nominations to the National Register of Historic Places. For all the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
In our remaining moments with Dr. Stephen R. Schmidt, you're a professor of psychology, so obviously that's your discipline, but what got you interested in this particular topic?
Oh, gosh, it goes back. There have long been a question of why certain things stand out and are well remembered. I was trying to remember. I guess the first point which I really got focused on it was back when the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded, back in the 1986, I believe it was. And at the time, people were thinking about the notion of flashbulb memories, and a lot of people started researching that as a particular topic. And I have a vivid memory of that day myself, because that sort of started me down this path. So I would point to that point in time.
Do you have more memories associated with positive, extraordinary, or exceptional events, or with negative, exceptional events?
Oh, gosh, I guess I'd have to say negative. Positive events, I remember my daughter's wedding. That was pretty positive, but really, again, the details, I don't know, maybe it's because of my area of research, but I've looked at things like the shuttle explosions and the September 11th attacks and the Boston Marathon bombings, and these are the things that I've been looking at. So I guess I have more negative memories. Maybe they're in retrospectively thinking back, gee, I wish I'd paid attention to and didn't. And so they're thinking that it went by quickly because I don't have all these details that I wish I had about what happened.
It could be that, say, that the Boston Marathon bombings happened like 4 hours after the major players had already crossed the finish line, and maybe people weren't paying that much attention in that way. They weren't paying attention to it so much as an athletic event at that point, because the men's and women's winners had already been crowned, and that was their point of focus. And it's all about the unexpected, isn't it, for the most part? What's unexpected is what stays with you when it happens.
Well, I think they're two separate things. Yes, the unusual, the unexpected are well remembered, but I think that emotional response plays a big role as well. You can't ignore one or the other. Lots of times, strong emotional events are unexpected. So those two play hand in hand. It's rare that we have a strong emotional event that isn't unexpected, except maybe, for instance, a wedding. But most of those things, especially the negative, are unexpected events, and those tend to stand out, both because they're unusual and because they're emotional.
How do you think that your research will be used or can be used in the future to help further other research or other types of investigations?
Well, I hope there are a number of things that can be done. I hope people can learn to improve their memory by learning to pay attention to those things that make objects or events different, kind of focus on difference in the context of similarity, then you get a better memory performance. So you can learn strategies to process things distinctively. And I think that can help people of all ages. And also, I hope it helps us understand our lives better, because our lives are punctuated by these extraordinary memories. And, you know, you think back of who you are and what you are, it probably has a lot to do with these exceptional events that you remember.
The book is called Extraordinary Memories for Exceptional Events by Dr. Stephen R. Schmidt, and it's published by Psychology Press. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
MTSU On the Record, a news and information program about Middle Tennessee State University, is produced by the university's Marketing and Communications Office, which is solely responsible for its content. Read more about MTSU at our website, mtsunews.com. Podcasts of this program are available at mtsunews.com and on iTunes.